Mickey, who ate my radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a special two-hour edition of the East-West Wrestling Connection. However, we kind of need a new name for it since we're more than East and West. It's pretty much the North American Wrestling Connection since we have Canadians invading the show.
Yay!
Damn Canadians.
Stop. We'll own you.
Well, we do have the sexiest Canadian import since Michael J. Fox, of course, Trista Timpson.
And Edge. And
damn, you're right. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we have Paul Heyman's hustle, Nikki Heyman.
Good evening, everyone.
And then we have we have the man who is to Detroit, as Colonel Sanders is to chicken, D2.
Hey, you gotta love Detroit and chicken.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your panel tonight. Let's give him a round of applause. So, how's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, I am still recovering from the road.
I am still recovering from my own little road trip here.
I am recovering from Chinese food and a ton of antibiotics.
I'm just recovering.
Oh my god.
What?
I'm going to apologize right now if I seem a little distracted during tonight's show, because I am.
Well, we'll get to the distraction later on in the show.
Yes, we will.
But first of all, people who listen to the show and who follow us in our everyday lives know that Nikki was on a 5-day road trip.
That I was. So if you'll pardon me if my voice sounds a little raspy, I have been screaming my head off since last Friday.
Her own personal road to WrestleMania.
Indeed. This covered one autograph session, one independent show, and a near gauntlet of WWE events. Friday afternoon, I had the good fortune of catching up with Batista. He did ask me how my dear uncle was doing, and I filled him in about the hustle and about how I'm trying to get him and RVD Uncle Paul and RVD hooked up for a later show.
By the way, episode 3 is up right now.
Indeed. Friday night, I was in Bell Fountain, Ohio, making Trista exceptionally jealous.
I'm not talking to you. I have, one thing to say, but then after that, I'm not talking to you, ever.
It's kind of hard to hear a radio show when one person's not talking to another one.
Yeah, but I have 2 other people I can still talk to, right?
Yay! I haven't pissed
you
off. Yay! So would you say it now, Trista, or would you like me to just keep going? Oh, wait, you're not talking to me.
No, I have one thing before you keep going, because I'm pretty sure you're going to be the only person that agrees with me on this.
All right.
If Edge and Johnny Nitro could conceive a child, would he not look like Zack Ryder?
Given that I just finished watching all that, I didn't have that view. I was worried you were going to say that if Edge and John Morrison got together, that their child would be Tyler Black.
No. I'm pretty sure it would probably look like Zack Ryder. I was just looking at him. He has, Morrison's face, but then he has, Edge's hair. And it's just kind of like, hey, if a guy and a guy could have a kid, that's what theirs would look like.
And the personality of Rico, but that's another story.
Rim shot.
But I'm...
Anyway, I was in Bell Fountain for American Lucha Corps, where I got to meet Trista's all-time favorite wrestler, Tyler Black. And I also managed to get a photograph with him, which is why Trista's not going to speak to me for the rest of the evening.
Pictures are up on NikkiHeyman.com.
That is correct. Saturday morning, I, along with my bodyguard / boyfriend, drove all the way down to Louisville, Kentucky for a Raw House show, where I had the opportunity to snap a picture with the latest Playboy model, Maria.
Yay!
There she goes again in Madison.
I also have finally added the world's worst singer this side of Bubba Ray Dudley, Jillian Hall.
No, there's somebody worse.
Who?
That's stupid Lily Garcia!
Lillian can sing.
Lillian's a great singer.
Actually, no, I should add to that list. Sylvain Grenier. He cannot sing worth a darn. I unfortunately missed the opportunity to shake hands with Chris Jericho, and I also missed the women's champion, Beth Phoenix. Sunday was my Indianapolis arm of the trip, with a small stopover in Muncie.
Yay!
Where I had the opportunity to add yet more divas to my list, such as Eve Torres, Layla, who I've discovered is as tall as I am, that's not a compliment, Kelly Kelly, who remembered me, and the re-recruiting of Shelton Benjamin.
There ain't no stopping him now.
I've just got to teach him to stop yelling into the microphone or pretending to sing. It's not working, Shelton. Even your mama will tell you this.
Ooh!
Oh, snap.
Ouch!
Yes. My other new recruit is ECW's Kofi Kingston, a man who blows more spots than Sabu when he's sober. He's a great guy, don't get me wrong, but I would think he'd be further along in his abilities than he has demonstrated so far.
Does he have the accent still?
The accent is genuine.
Nice. That's pretty sexy, actually.
That did it for my recruiting. Now, Monday, I'm going to have to tell this story.
Monday is the one, honestly, that makes me angry, because if I knew you were in my arena, probably would have bought you a drink.
Were you there?
I was there. Indy is my town.
I was over Rampside. If you want a specific instance, there was a sign that popped up in that section of Chris Jericho, delightfully caricatured, that he pointed out just before the beginning of the highlight reel segment.
I was exactly on the opposite end of the arena.
Okay.
Which the highlight reel segment was the funniest thing ever.
That was awesome.
Just because of the simple fact that they forgot to plug in the TV.
Or the obscenely expensive Daretron.
6,000.
He has upgraded in high def.
Yeah, but
I have a pre-show story that I've got to tell.
All right, go ahead.
I had arrived at the arena about 4:30 or so, and was hanging around in the lobby when this woman approaches me and asks me if I work for WWE. I reply indirectly. She then proceeds to tell me this sob story that she's been trying to make arrangements through Canseco Fieldhouse for a meet and greet with some of the top superstars of the WWE. It was scheduled for 7 p.m. in the lobby of the arena. As I'm holding back fits of laughter, she is begging me to call somebody and try to make sure that this is actually going to happen. So I decided.
Doesn't
you know
the
what?
Show start in like a half hour or so?
The bell time was at 7:30, and she was asking for Triple H and Jeff Hardy. I want Triple H and Jeff Hardy, too, so if this is going to happen, I'd like to be a part of it. So, to snow her, I went out front and spoke to a security guard. Came back in and told her that they didn't know anything about it, so apparently the arena has dropped the ball. I then proceed to call WWE Fan Services and leave them a message, and I tell her that I did not get to speak to a human being. She says, can I give you my number in case they call you back?
Uh-oh.
Sure. Give me your phone number. So I take her phone number down. From there, I did step away from the arena for a little bit. I have a tradition when it comes to coming to Indianapolis, and I don't know if you are a sushi fan, my friend, but I had to walk a few blocks to Mikado's.
Yeah, Mikado's. Oh, my God.
Where I proceeded to blow my gas budget on dinner.
You'll do that there.
easily. Chirashi and the spicy seafood soup was just amazing.
Oh.
We're getting ready
to
leave.
You have to have a second portion.
Oh, it's a must if you ever go. It's like mandatory that you get that.
Yes. Now get a load of this. We're getting ready to leave the restaurant when my phone rings. It's fan services. And they said, what in the world is this lady talking about? And I said, she's just trying to blow smoke up my ass. So I'm getting her back because I know that this isn't happening. He says, you're right, because we don't do stuff like that. And he asked me for her number. So I gave it to him and let it go from there. Now, on our way back, it is driving me crazy. About 45 minutes later, I called him back and I said, I've got to know. What did she do? He said, I told her this 5 times, that this was not going to happen, and that's not how WWE works, and this, that, and the other thing, before she finally screamed in his ear and hung up on him.
That's what you get for being an idiot.
So, for her, do you have a Price is Right, You Lose Tones?
Candy? Oh,
epic fail.
Brilliant. That's exactly what she deserved.
Thank you, WrestleCrap Forum member Bad Booking.
Thank you.
Yay.
This portion of the show has been brought to you by Kayfabe.
Yay.
And
now,
The Price is Right.
Absolutely. Now, wouldn't you
and
mean, and
the Crematory Radio, a new internet radio station that will be debuting March 27th. We thrash and we burn. We'll be plugging them throughout the show, folks, so don't worry about it.
Yay, plugs. Now, Nikki, I actually had a question for you because I didn't get to the arena until like 10 to 8. What were the dark matches and heat matches?
Oh, okay.
As soon as I got in the arena, I heard Virchel's music playing and he wins. That's it.
Yes, Virchel defeated Hacksaw Jim Duggan in a match they rehearsed in Louisville. Essentially, they came out and bragged about destroying an American icon. Now, when Hacksaw Jim Duggan became an American icon, I think Paul Virchel was still in grade school.
Pretty sure. And his sister was probably still infatuated with him. Anyway.
You mean primary school over in England?
Elementary school in Canada. Or public schooling, where I'm from.
Dark matches and heat matches. Vladimir Kozlov killed a random jobber who smacked remotely of Eric Young.
He beat Adam Sessler?
We wish.
That match
would
get a 4 out of 5. Anyway, now that nobody gets that reference but like 2 people.
Alas, I am not one of them.
Damn.
What else do we have? Melina, with a little bit of help from Beth Phoenix, defeats Mickie James.
Aw, damn it, I missed a Mickie match.
Let's see. Random tag team match of the night, and this even surpasses the random tag team that I saw in the main event at Muncie. The main event at Muncie was The Undertaker and Finlay versus Edge and The Big Show. Can I top that? Yes, I can. The Hooligans, alias London and Kendrick, versus Charlie Haas and Highlander Robbie.
What?
I am now very angry that I had to eat before I got there.
Go look up this match because there is the whole match kind of degenerated after Charlie fell out of the ring, as he has evolved the Lucha Man gimmick. Not only does he have a mask, but he has a whole other singlet.
What?
He comes in as this really thick, dark red singlet with his name on it. When he falls out of the ring, he rolls underneath, he takes the red singlet off, pulls on a mask that matches the singlet that's underneath, and comes back in as da-da, Lucha-man! He also brought a mask up for Robbie, who refused to wear it.
Good.
At this point, Charlie starts wrestling differently. The Hooligans thwart him. At some point, the mask comes off. Each of them try it on and react as if they are putting on the mask. It's a brilliant, brilliant match. I recommend anybody.
Smoking.
It's beautiful stuff. It was a good time.
That sounds really good.
Let's see. The next match after that was Val Venus getting killed by Snitsky. Some call it a match. Some call it zucchini. I call it squash.
I call it the brush your teeth match.
I call it, hey, look, Val still has a job.
Yes.
We call it the Canadian Pride match.
Now, if anybody is interested in looking up this match, please just look up the first minute or two when Val comes to the ring. The lady a couple of seats over from me, who was right on the guardrail, got Val's towel.
What?
And might have actually gotten some airtime out of it.
I'm afraid to know where that towel's been, to be honest with you.
Been around his waist, D. Quit being perverted. God.
Mr. Yamaguchi's daughter.
I was saying showering here. Hello.
Hello.
I don't want anyone showered towel.
No, it's,
gosh.
How come Michinoku's, sister used that towel in order to sponge off? Circa 1998.
That was a fun skit.
Let's see. And among my silly pictures, since they ran the WWE 24/7 ad, I got a picture of a much younger dear Uncle Paul standing in an authentic ECW ring.
Yay.
I sort of prefer Paul Heyman with the super yuppie. The super yuppie mullet.
Let's see.
And yes, Jim Ward, yeah. I'd love to come. I'm sorry to interrupt, Nikki, but...
No, go ahead.
I hearken back to an old WCW World Championship Wrestling where Paul Heyman called Jim Ross, you know, you're worse than David Crockett. He's like, oh, Paul, that's terrible right there. For anybody who knows David Crockett, look at him, Tony, look at him. That's pretty much all he did.
I will throw in one thing. After the camera stopped rolling for Raw,
Great.
We had the good fortune to watch Triple H Pedigree Orton.
Yay!
I went home happy.
The misfortune? I thought you hated Randy Orton.
I do. I'm sorry that the rest of the world didn't get to see it.
Oh.
It was good times.
I thought you meant, like, you were mad Randy Orton got pedigreed, and I'm like, what?
Absolutely not. I'm
welcome
madder
to the bizarre
than
world, ladies and gentlemen.
Granted,
I'm madder that Hunter didn't do an eagle wing pose on my corner.
Yeah,
we
got the TV pose. Yeah, yes.
For any of you who've watched SmackDown tonight, you probably saw me all over the place.
I'm actually watching SmackDown right now, and MVP's getting his ass kicked.
Check camera right on any of the wide shots, and you'll see me in the black baseball cap with the red lettering.
Of course.
With the sign, and ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the secret word of the day. The secret word is...
banana hammock.
No.
Boo.
Doofus.
The secret word for today is hustle. And anytime anybody says the secret word of the day, everybody knows what to do.
Scream real loud.
That's right.
Run in terror because that show gave me nightmares.
Did I mention that I didn't even watch the show and for some reason I still know that bit of trivia? Actually, when you get to the Diva segment, let me know, and I will tell you how easy it is to see me.
Well, luckily for me, I have DVR, so fast forward.
Ah.
Blah, blah, blah. Batista's in a chokehold. Blah, blah, blah. Oh.
MVP retains.
Speaking of chokehold.
Yay.
Did you see the single most controversial sign from Raw?
You want Chris Harris? Oh, wait, that was a SmackDown.
No. When they were doing the Maria Playboy reveal, they showed a sign that had a Playboy bunny, red sign, Playboy bunny, something about Maria. But right next to and behind that sign was one that said, Benoit was my biological father. Thank God he didn't know.
Oh, no.
And it made TV.
Oh, no. How did that make it? Whoa.
Here's the story behind that. I know the guy.
You do?
It was the back of a sign. It was like, I think he said it was a Y2J sign. He had a marker in his pocket. He made the sign in the arena.
You gotta be shitting me.
I am
no,
not
I've
kidding
seen this. I've seen
all
this happen.
Yeah. We were going to do it, but then we just thought against it because we're like, yeah, we don't want to leave yet.
Oh, did he get thrown out? Seriously.
Yeah. Well, first they confiscated his sign. Then he grabbed his buddy's sign and tried to make it again. Then they threw him out.
That's his own fault. I'm surprised they didn't throw some guys out. I've seen this happen before. I was at a SmackDown taping in Columbus. This was 3 or 4 years ago. We were in the lower level, and some guys 3 rows in front of us were making signs and holding them up and getting them confiscated just as quickly. Yet for some reason they wouldn't take their markers. So they just sat there and kept making signs. And they just stood there and kept taking them away.
I have one soundbite to play for your friend D2.
Now, this goes beyond epic fail. That's just terrible.
I laughed.
Oh, I laughed too.
I'm on the computer for that, for the sound effect that I want to play. Something about a nuclear explosion.
Oh, there we go, Diva segment.
Now I have Adam Bomb.
God, Victoria looks good.
Now, look down at the lower right of the screen when it's wide, and you'll see a sign that says Doofus.
Hey, there it is.
That's me.
Yay!
You're famous, Mickey.
I am infamous.
Infamous.
A couple other good places to look are at the end of the six-man tag, where they have a shot over by the floor. You can see me jump up. And at the end of the Divas segment, when the fight, just before the fights break out. You can see me periodically during Cutting Edge holding up a poster of Edge, but you can't see, you really can't see what it looks like.
But not a Colt Cabana poster.
I did not get to it, and I apologize.
Oh. I even watched
I did, Christmas. However, get a sign taken from me at Raw.
What did it say?
It was the WWF Panda.
With the rock eyebrow?
Yes, with the rock eyebrow. And the WWE underneath it.
That sign's been going around.
It makes me sad. It's now the official WrestleCraft sign.
There's a couple of dudes up in New York that were trying to get that into the garden.
Must have been crappers.
Might have been. Does the WrestleCraft Awards host the man who created the "If Cena wins, we riot" sign,
yes,
the original
yep
one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He was the one that first did the Panda one, too.
He was sitting directly in front of me at the Rumble.
You gotta love pointless TNA segments that mean nothing but just eat up time.
Yes.
And
you know what they call that?
It looks like Michelle McCool ate a cheeseburger last week. Wow.
She's still a rail.
No. It couldn't be a cheeseburger. It'd be a T-bone steak. She actually ate a good solid piece of meat with onion.
You know, there's a joke to be made about her eating a solid piece of meat, but I'm going to take the high ground and not take it.
We just thank God Blade didn't get to her.
Dude.
Boo, John. Great Blade.
Awkward silence.
Of bread and mayo, and it needs to be deep fried in bread and mayo. Like, she is so friggin' skinny. It is disgusting.
I want to make her a cheeseburger, lather on mayonnaise, and just make her eat it.
No.
Along with just
sticks of butter. I got it. She needs an Elvis Presley sandwich.
Butter wrapped in bacon?
No.
Peanut butter and bananas?
No. A whole loaf of bread, hollowed out, peanut butter, creamy, jelly, bacon.
Oh, I love bacon.
That tastes good. That sounds good.
That sounds absolutely evil, and I don't like peanut butter, so.
12,000 calories.
That sounds really good.
12,000 calories?
No.
Yes, 12,000 calories in just a quarter of that sandwich. I am not kidding.
Huh. I was going to say, somebody must have been trying too hard. Mr. Seidelman, Google 33,000 calorie sub.
I could feel my arteries clogging just thinking about this sandwich.
33,000. I'll Wikipedia that. Because it's got to have its own wiki page.
Everything has its own wiki page.
I don't have a wiki page yet. Will somebody please start that
Why
for me?
Why not?
Do I have to go start my own wiki page?
Make a Facebook group.
Well, Nikki, since we are family, I'll do one for you. I came to this conclusion last week because I mentioned at the end of the show that if I'm the bastard son of Paul and you're his niece, that would make us cousins.
Hmm. You know that we have another cousin in Pennsylvania.
Really?
There's a dude on my MySpace who goes by Das Bank, but we've discovered that he is also related somehow.
Doorbell.
I keep hearing doorbell.
We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
What's up?
Not much. How are you tonight?
This is DJ from Ohio. I've called in previously.
Uh-oh, DJ, you're calling to brag, aren't you?
Yeah, in a way.
I'm going to have to sit down for this part.
I've got a little story, too. Once I heard Michelle McCool and Meat, I had to chime in with my two cents here.
Michelle McCool and Meat, you got to love it. Just goes together.
So, Michelle, you've heard Nikki telling you about her trip to Muncie. I actually was also at the same show, and I had an encounter with somebody on my way back. I stopped at a gas station. I saw a few of the referees, so I figured, well, maybe some of the wrestlers are making their way this way. So I continued on, and I stopped to get something to eat, and I pulled into the parking lot of a Waffle House somewhere on the Indiana-Ohio border, and I'm going to get a newspaper before I walk in, and I see The Undertaker and Michelle McCool sitting in a nice little corner booth. I'm having dinner at Waffle House, so I'm quite giddy. I walk inside, you know, order my big buttermilk pancake with chocolate sprinkles, or not chocolate sprinkles, chocolate chips, because it wouldn't taste good with chocolate sprinkles. But anyway,
no.
Everything tastes good with chocolate sprinkles.
that's
chocolate chip pancakes are awesome.
The 33,000 calorie pancakes.
Yeah.
So catch them out of the corner of my eye, and I'm kind of nervous deciding, you know, I wasn't going to approach them while they were eating because that would be downright rude. So I waited around. Finally, they get done, and I'm still in the process of eating. So right before they walk out, I didn't know what to address The Undertaker as. I wasn't going to say Mr. Calloway because I didn't want him to be like, you're a crazy internet stalker fan. So I just asked him, excuse me, Mr. Taker, sir, would it be possible to get a picture with you? And he had kind of said something, and I couldn't hear what he said. I didn't know if he said, yeah, meet me outside, or no, you know. I didn't know what he said, so I poked my head out of the thing, and he was like, man, that's not cool. He's like, you could have waited until I got out of the restaurant because I was trying to sneak out of here. Meanwhile, he's 7 foot tall. There's a trucker and two old ladies there who didn't even know who he was. So I'm scared out of my wits. Here's The Undertaker, like, admonishing me for asking for a picture. And I was just like, oh, you know, that's all right, dude. I was like, I'll just go back inside. And I was like, I'm sorry to bother you. He's like, no, come over here. So I didn't have anybody to take the picture. I was traveling alone. Michelle McCool was out there, and I didn't want to address her as Michelle McCool because I didn't want to kind of address the fact that those two were together. So I just was like, hey, excuse me, ma'am, could you possibly take this picture? Which evoked from Michelle McCool. She grabbed the camera, took a picture, and that was pretty much the end of my story. But we were talking, Nikki and I were talking earlier in the day about how you pretty much have to catch the Undertaker at an airport or at a restaurant. And it just happened that I caught him at a Waffle House on a Sunday night with Michelle McCool. And it was pretty awesome because he actually shook my hand after I got a picture with him. And he has the Taker death stare. And meanwhile, I was deciding whether or not to smile, and I did. And, yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Awesome.
Looks like he's about ready to kill the person taking the picture.
Yes.
But to your credit, you lived.
I did live.
Now, is this Statboy or Peapod?
Pardon?
Or is this just DJ?
This is DJ. He was on one of our earlier shows.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Because
I'm
actually talking with Statboy Josh Henniger and DJ Peapod from WXUT Capture Suplex Radio.
Oh no. This is my boy. In fact, DJ bought my original ticket for Muncie, as I was offered a better seat through a family that travels to various shows.
Right.
So, and I helped him get this opportunity.
So nice job. So DJ gets the Undertaker picture and Nikki with the assist. Right on.
So we do have a D2 on this show. We have a DJ on the show, but DH Smith unfortunately was unavailable tonight. So
yes, he was too busy getting squashed by Umaga. For those that watched last week's Raw, know what I'm talking about.
Nikki, you forgot a story too.
I told the one about the lady in Indianapolis. Which one should I tell?
Your interruption of Shelton Benjamin's phone call.
Oh, yes. Shelton Benjamin had been on and off the phone while he was out in the back of the arena. And I had come up to him and asked if I could get a picture with him. He said, yeah, sure. And as he's getting ready to pose, his phone rings.
Oh.
And I'm already... He takes his phone out, and he's swinging his arm back and forth. He's like, I need to take this call. I got to take this picture. I need to take this call. But the look on his face, I mean, he still played it very cool.
And that's why you got to love Shelton Benjamin.
Did you tell him that his theme song has a double negative in it, and therefore it is possible to stop him at any given time?
No, I did not. I'm going to leave him with his delusions, especially since he lost to Kofi Kingston.
Which is why he lost to Kofi Kingston.
Exactly.
Bo, bo, bo.
Bo, bo, bo. The fact that I was doing
it. Is it just me or does Kofi Kingston look suspiciously like Bob Charlie from Super Punch-Out?
Hmm.
Never seen it.
By God, we found him a new finisher. Forget the kick. You're just going to spin in a circle and throw an uppercut.
Yes.
He does it pretty much now. Spins in a circle, throws a kick.
Somebody you got to love Super Punch-Out. Or any Punch-Out games. Who would be Glass Joe?
Colin Delaney.
Yeah, but Colin's getting offense lately, so.
But he didn't take my sign. Oh, wait, it was addressed to Tommy. He wouldn't have taken it anyway.
Oh, you got it through.
Yes, I did. And this is how... there's a reason for DJ's surprise. Gund Arena, Quicken Loans Arena, whatever they're calling it these days, has metal detectors at the door.
Yes, they do.
So, I have my loaded sign with me, and I've already got my plan in place. You go up to a metal detector, and there's a table between some of them. So I lay all the signs out flat, put out my camera, my wallet, and my phone, slide them along the table, and walk through the metal detector. They look at the signs. They don't see anything offensive on them. And on more than one occasion, some of them have actually been able to split the signs and see the load, but they can't do anything about it because there's nothing against having a metal sign. So he just shrugs, and I put all my stuff back in my pockets and pick up my signs and go.
Nice.
It would have been so great to see Tommy, like, hit John Morrison with a sign. That would have been great.
Miz was on the floor on my side. And this
the Miz. Yes, the Miz.
Well, yeah, Miz was on the floor on my side. And I had the sign folded and ready. I was waiting for him to get up. That would have been worth getting thrown out for.
Just to deck the Miz. And you would have been on WrestleMania 42.
Knocking the Miz into next month with that sign.
I do have a new respect for Miz, though, because when we were at the Muncie House Show, Nikki knows what I'm talking about. The setup was kind of bad because they were trying to barricade people, but they didn't do a good job. So every time a wrestler came through the parking lot, people, like, ran up to them. One kid had a chair that he wanted to get signed, so he ran up to Miz and Morrison. And pretty much Miz says, "We don't accept losers into the Palace of Wisdom." And that pretty much made my day.
Ah, that's the story I needed to tell. Actually, DJ, there's a better story than that. The Rated R Superstar had an escort coming into the arena that day.
I heard this story.
Okay, Edge was one of the last people to get to the arena. He pulls in, and a Indiana State Trooper's following him.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up all the way to the back of the parking lot. So we do not know what exactly is going on, but I guarantee you he wasn't escorting him. There was some discussion, and I recall Mikey was hollering across the parking lot, "Hey, Edge, what did you do?" Of course, he's not going to answer us, and I was hoping he'd address it at the show, but he didn't.
You need an old Mountie call.
He's getting used to the speed limit change, that's all. His 80 miles per hour, kilometers per hour here, it's not that fast. So I know, like, for you guys, it's, like, huge law breaking, but it's not that fast here. It's probably all that was.
Well, let's see. It's 70 in most parts of Indiana, although the Beltway is 55, but everybody does 70 anyway.
Yeah.
So he had to have been doing 90 for anybody to even look at him.
And wasn't it Kevin Thorne that was driving?
Kevin Thorne, the artist formerly known as Kevin Thorne.
What is he known by now? Kevin Furtig?
No, he's still going by Kevin Thorne, but they've destroyed him. He's wearing
like
with roses on them. Who does he think he is, Vega from Street Fighter?
I would kill for a Vega gimmick in wrestling.
We have a new gimmick.
Let's get him a mask to cover that Shane Douglas face of his, let him grow his hair out, and get him the Wolverine claw. I'm all for it.
On a completely side note, Trista, remember that gimmick. We'll talk about it later.
What gimmick?
I think I just came up with a great idea for a stable. If we can get Elijah Burke
on TV.
Who's there?
Elijah Burke on the phone?
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, gotta be screwed.
Hello?
Who is this?
My name is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Are
How are y'all?
To a giraffe, because that'd be super.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, what can we do you for tonight?
Nothing. I was just wondering, when y'all are wrestling, ever feel compelled, like, you know, release internal, you know, like, flip on the mat, being that, like, you know, you get, like, tight waist real hard. I just want to, like, let loose.
Yes,
beg pardon?
What?
I think we have
beg
a button
pardon?
For this.
Not like a little bit of pee comes out because you get squeezed too hard. Not
get
me.
Hooked. Then they immediately do a big move and then they run out of the ring for the count out. I think that's the standard answer there.
Or they take a tombstone and lose the title at WrestleMania.
Right.
No. That means they have to crap their pants, not pee their pants.
Well, some I get some crap too, but you know, the ref kind of doesn't notice covered in sweat, but when I make a poo-poo, freaking, like, it's everywhere.
Wow.
There's got to be a button for this.
Huh? Yeah.
There is a button for this.
Yes.
There's two buttons, actually.
Yes, and I'm pressing the number 2 button. Sorry, we can't answer your question there. I think it's best if you flush it.
Is that poop humor?
Sorry.
Poop humor. I got one more question.
All right.
Right. All right. My little brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was wrestling, and I thought it was poop. He was rolling around with it and whatnot. You know, I think he kind of enjoyed it in, like, a sexual way.
Goodbye.
Get the hook.
Robert, hit the button.
I demand the hook.
Now that you've hit that button, hit the epic fail button. Thank you.
Whoa! Thank you.
That was about 2 minutes too long.
Yes, it was. I would like the last 2.5 minutes of my life back. So, where were we?
We'll be right back right after this brief message.
Hi, my name's Frost. You might not know me or my friends just yet, but trust me, you will get to know us, you will love us, you will want to have our children. We're bringing a new breed of internet radio station to you called The Crematory. We specialize in a variety of hard, dark, and driving music. We play metal. Industrial. Gothic. Techno trance. And more. Don't miss out. Look out for The Crematory on crematory-radio.listen2myradio.com. The Crematory. We launch March 27th, 2008. crematory-radio.listen2myradio.com. We thrash and we burn.
Welcome back. We had to flush the idiot who called us recently about poop humor. Hey, 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 hey.
Was that John for the cousin?
Poopy and toilet.
Was that a
I think he might have been Festus's cousin. I don't know. Festus at least has higher intelligence than that.
Ooh, I have a Festus story.
On that note, Nikki.
At the Muncie House show, I was sitting front row. I had two small boys sitting next to me, both of them under the age of 10. They spent most of the time before the show asking me all kinds of questions about, you know, what they were going to see, what was going to happen, and who all was going to be there. They were disappointed when I told them that Rey Mysterio wasn't going to attend, but perked up when a few other names came up. Surprisingly, when I mentioned Jesse and Festus, they seemed rather interested. And I told them, do you think that Festus, you know, you gotta watch out for Festus, because when the bell rings, he goes crazy. And he said, yeah, that's really cool. I said, do you realize that every time he does that, he attacks everybody in the ring, including Jesse? And our eyes get a little bit bigger. And I said, because it's only a matter of time where Jesse's not going to be able to stop him. And they start pushing their chairs back.
You just scared the piss out of the next generation of fans. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Ruin them while they're young.
Right.
Well, it got better. Jesse got thrown out of the ring on our side, so I was waiting for them to just get up. I was waiting for them to say, don't let Festus come over here. And if Festus did come over here, to watch them scream and run out of the arena.
That is so mean.
But so beautiful at the same time.
Hilarious.
That is. That's like when they like discover the like wrestling websites or whatever, and everyone has like a stupid like when I was little, this is what someone told me story. That might be theirs.
And that's a good. Isn't that a good one to have?
Yeah.
Well,
it was
the way the lady that looked like Paul Heyman told me that Festus was gonna eat my face. Which may or may not be true.
CreditRaja.com.
This will still be around.
Wow, unlikely.
By the way, remember you were talking about a 33,000 calorie sandwich?
Well,
yes.
Yes, I do, because I'm hungry.
I found the ingredients in the website.
I knew it existed. I remember reading this.
The actual calorie count is 33,403.
Holy sandwich booger.
Here's the ingredients.
I'm sorry, I dropped my phone.
24 rashers of bacon, bacon strips. 60 sausages.
Oh my god.
4 burgers. 2 chicken Kievs. 8 frying steaks. Steak mincemeat. 10 eggs. A whole bunch of mini hash browns. You know, the stuff that you normally get at McDonald's.
Right.
A block of cheddar cheese.
A block?
An entire block.
Are
we thinking like...
butter.
Are we thinking like perfect square block or like Velveeta long block?
Velveeta long block. Preferably Tillamook. Butter. You know, like a whole tub of butter. 1 bottle of sunflower oil, and 2 Bloomer loaves white bread. Now, this is uncut bread.
Wow.
The sausages hold the most fat food-wise, but the biggest thing altogether is the sunflower oil, which collects in nearly 9,000 alone.
Wow.
You gotta fry all of the ingredients. Afterwards, the kitchen was saturated with fat and grease. By the time I was done, I was sliding around on a layer of oil that had formed on the floor and had burned my hands no less than 4 times. That's just frying all the stuff. And he assembled the sandwich. Took about a half hour to do.
God.
With a couple of meat slices, the end result proved what a stupid idea this project was. I really didn't know what he was thinking. The finished sandwich was so large, I wouldn't even fit in the viewfinder of my cheap disposable camera. And he's got a picture of it in the refrigerator on his website. Eating the sandwich took me about 8 days, including a few days' rest. It was a bit concerned that I'd suffer a grease-induced heart attack, but I'm still alive, and it tasted awesome.
I feel my heart stopping listening to this description.
A 33,000 calorie up yours to the government's healthy eating guidelines.
Yay. And
this is from Britain.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's your problem right there.
That kind of makes more sense now.
Well, it was 33,000 calories, and it actually had some flavor.
Like, wouldn't the conversion rate between them and us be, like, about 20,000 calories?
No. Oh, calories are calories, no matter where you slice it.
Yeah, but in America, that's only half a Whopper Jr.
In America, that's, like, lunch.
Oh, by the way, cost them 33 quid. Or
that's
pounds.
Funny numbers.
Ouch.
He's also got his own MySpace.
I want to be his friend.
The sandwich has its own MySpace?
No, the guy who created it has its own MySpace.
I want to be his friend.
I want to take a look and see what this guy looks. Holy crap, he was only 18 when he did this.
And he's probably about 5'10 and about 140 pounds, soaking wet in a flak jacket with rocks in his pockets.
Hold on, I got to log in and see these pictures.
Jim Ross wants to put that sandwich on the menu at the family barbecue as we speak.
Exactly. And he's going to add another 2,000 calories with half a bottle of his signature sauce.
Screw that. He put the whole sauce on there.
That reminds me, too, Nikki, when you guys were talking about signs that snuck in,
yeah.
I was watching Raw AM, I think it was either last week or the week before, and somebody had in a sign that said JR's barbecue sauce sucks.
I saw that sign.
And I know JR saw it, too, and there was nothing he could do about it. It was just so funny to kind of watch him squirm while it was in the background for, like, 15 seconds.
You gotta feel bad for him.
I do, too.
By the way, Mr. Settleman, I'm only logging off because I'm switching computers and moving to another part of my studio, anyway.
Right. Oh, by the way, your referee friend's on the chat room.
Who's that?
Sean Matthews.
Indeed. What's he blathering about? I bet he's begging us to talk about Maid.
We already did that about a half hour ago. He's plugging his MySpace.
Oh, doofus. And I know he can hear me. Doofus.
All right, well, we'll bring you back later on in the show, Nikki. You need to go change your phone.
No. I'm fine. All I said was just moving to another part of the house.
Oh, okay.
And it sounds like I can make an echo without even having to use my Bluetooth, so.
Yay.
Oh.
The sandwich is humongous.
Is this why we're having a two-hour show tonight? So we can have, like, an hour of wrestling and, like, an hour of, like...
hour of this one sandwich.
Welcome to WrestleCrap Radio. I'm your host, Artie Reynolds. And here is the warlord to my barbarian, D2.
How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing fine. And speaking of that, on the other end of the tin can and string is the Mr. Fuji to our warlord and barbarian, Trista Timpson.
Trista's a dude? Oh,
dude looks like a lady.
No, that's Tony, Nikki.
Sorry.
Actually, the Rolling Stones looked about 15 years into the future and saw Tony's picture, and that's how the sound came about.
That's actually Aerosmith. That's
yeah, that's Aerosmith, dude.
Totally Aerosmith.
And he hosts a music show? You're fired.
Robert, play the sound.
He deserves that.
I just thank God John isn't listening to this show.
That is kind of depressing.
How many times have we epic failed tonight? Like 5? Already? We've still got an hour to go?
Hold on. I'm remembering the poo guy. Okay, we're up to an even dozen. Anyway.
Actually, a dozen's 12. I said 5.
I said half dozen.
I don't care. I'm distracted.
Get up, Matt.
And on that note, D2... please tell us why you're distracted.
Oh, you see, while you made the analogy just a second ago about the R.D. Blade thing, the only difference between me and Blade, besides the fact that I'm not a sexy hobo, is I'm sober right now.
And you're wearing pants.
Actually, no, I'm not wearing pants, and I'll tell you why.
Only in radio, folks. Only in radio.
It's a glorious day, for I hold in my hand the April 2008 issue of Playboy.
I was afraid of that.
Beautiful Maria on the cover. And while on the cover, that little freckle on her shoulder may be airbrushed out. It's not inside the book. Trista, you owe me $10 Canadian.
I'm not paying you anything because it's on the cover.
Santino has something to say about this. And not just on Monday.
Most importantly, while the Maria shoot is fun and excellent, there's an interview in here with Nickelback's Chad Kroeger.
Oh, God, my mom's listening to their CD right now.
Oh, my God, my mom had it playing last weekend.
My mom plays it anytime that she's taking a bath.
That's weird.
I'm like, oh, my God, they suck.
That's not scary at all.
Song repeatedly.
Quite possibly.
My brain hurts.
Yeah. And he said it in the interview himself. It's either someone loves Nickelback or they hate him. I don't care. I love it. This is honestly one of the best interviews I've ever read. Yes, a male does read Playboy, and I'm not gay. Wanted to add that little tidbit before someone took a shot.
I wasn't going to.
Liar.
Actually, I wasn't either. I was just going to tell. I was going to tell the very, very bad contextual joke that Santino and Carlito slipped in Saturday at the Louisville show.
It's a good one.
Yes, it is. Santino was ranting and raving as usual about the fact that Maria was posing for Playboy.
Yay.
And it ended with just the very thought of Maria posing in Playboy, it makes my head hurt. Carlito casually takes the microphone from him. He says, yeah, man, I know how you feel. When I think about Maria and Playboy, it makes my head hurt, too.
And you're not alone.
And it went straight over Santino's head and into the cheap seat. Thank you.
Aren't Maria and Carlito going out for a while? I read this somewhere that before she started dating Punk, her and Carlito went out, like, briefly.
I wonder if they're back together because Maria's not with Punk anymore.
I heard she's with Santino.
Legit?
Well, we've seen the signs of the fallout Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean you to take it that way.
Well, Maria and Carlito are in the new WrestleMania commercial.
By the way,
Carlito's head.
At the Woodfield Mall, 26, hold on, 20, who do we know as 26 in Greek, a woman wrestler?
Huh? What's
going on?
Woman wrestler, 26 years old, Greek, and has been there for about 4 years.
Would be Maria.
Well, she's going to be doing autographs at the Woodfield Mall.
Ooh.
Where is that?
Where is the Woodfield Mall? I'm taking a road trip.
Roscoe Phil on the forums, where...
Come on, Roscoe, don't let
Where is the Woodfield Mall?
Come on, stay just outside Indiana. Come on, just outside Indiana.
Come on, not in Canada.
Nome. The hell's a Nome?
By the way, speaking of all that great jazz, suburb of Chicago.
Yes, just outside Indiana. So going.
Have fun. That's a little far for me.
30 minutes west of Chicago. So actually, Tony would be closer.
I don't give a damn.
Wait, Schaumburg? Jamie lives there! Holy shit! How'd she get Maria?
He bought her magazine.
It's a she!
Yeah.
She bought the magazine. I don't know.
That's even hotter, anyway.
And by the way, personally, Jamie looks a lot better than Maria. Actually, doesn't Maria dye her hair? That red is completely unnatural.
Here, let me answer that question real quick.
Okay.
what?
Maria's natural hair color is bald. Wait, what?
Oh, by the way, to both of you in there, you both got it wrong. It's Schaumburg.
We had a spelling bee?
You should have asked me. My crap job has an office in Schaumburg.
Yes, as Jimmy references as the strip mall capital of the world. By the way, if you want to get out in the action, folks, 1-646-716-9678. That's the number to call in.
No poop jokes, please.
Oh, my God.
And everybody's welcome except that last idiot. Not you, DJ, idiot with
I'll
the
ever,
poop joke.
I'll ever make a
Thank
poopy.
We are definitely, that's probably one of the highest points on this radio show.
Well, I'm about to make it a lot higher.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
looking through this glorious 10-page pictorial, I noticed something, and it's quite interesting.
More Maria airbrushing?
No airbrushing, but Maria doesn't like to close her mouth. Every picture in here, her mouth is open. At least
that
a little bit.
Bad thing?
I didn't say it was a bad thing. However...
I'll leave that joke alone.
I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
I'd love to touch it with my 10-foot pole. There's one picture.
Told you I wasn't going to go there.
I wasn't either,
but he did anyway.
I'll go there in a heartbeat.
He didn't have to go there because he knew he was going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Roscoe Phil mentions on the forum, on the chat room, you'll be able to tell her natural hair if the curtains don't match in Playboy.
There are no curtains.
She shaves?
No carpet.
Yes.
Curtains like your top head.
That's why her natural hair color is bald.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, we have an update on Damian Demento and R.D. Reynolds.
Oh, good.
Ah, yes. The war rages on.
I am going to play for you right now.
Damian's still crazy.
And still talking to his thumb. No, I'm actually going to play for you right now. Hello?
Hello?
That was weird.
Probably. La la la. By the way, here is Damian Demento's. I am not making this up. Here's Damian Demento's latest YouTube video. I am not making this up.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, yeah!
Bye-bye.
And it just goes on for another minute.
Bye-bye. Demento is out there, man.
And... this means that R.D. Reynolds and Blade Braxton have won the war! Yeah!
Hey, Seidelman, did you get to see the video about WrestleCrab? Because by the time I got there, it was already down from YouTube, because I guess he closes his account, like, every month.
Oh, yeah.
He's got another video up?
A week.
No.
No, the original one, but he, like, liquidates his account, like, once a week. Just makes a new one so that people can't find him and yell at him and call him a frickin' jobber. I ain't no frickin'
jobber.
Wait
a minute. Wait a minute.
Worker.
Hold the phone.
Bye-bye. Yes. Bye-bye makes me... wait a minute.
Bye-bye was the only one that was up.
Yeah. Yes. Bye-bye makes me poop, says Roscoe Phil. Coincidence?
I think not.
Who?
Right. Anyways, let's close out of that.
Moving right along.
Let's get back to Maria and Playboy.
Yes, let's. Okay, so... there's one photo, 2-page spread. Her face, it still looks hot as ever like Maria and everything, but the way her mouth is, picture Festus.
No.
Swear to God, it looks good coming off of her, but that vacant look with the mouth hanging open and the tongue like,
because this is a face of a woman who actually said yes.
Oh.
Not going to go there.
You didn't
and
have
then,
to.
Of course, we have the little mini bio that they wrote up for her. That's like 4 pages long. And it's pretty good. It talks about the fact that she drove a 94 Camaro Z28 in high school, which is ironic. That's the exact same car I drove in high school. But then we get near the end of the article,
mm-hmm.
and we learn that her breasts are named Tigger, because they just love to bounce and bounce.
Uh-huh.
Word for word, mind you. And the last couple paragraphs here. How should a guy approach her? Do give me your name and be genuine. Don't give me a line. Don't say, nice shoes, wanna fuck. She pauses. Though I might laugh. It depends on just how serious you are.
Well.
What should a guy wear on a date with Maria? Do wear a belt and shoes that match and jeans that fit your butt. Don't wear white socks unless that's all you're wearing. And if a guy should find himself, shall we say, in the ring with her, do go behind, she says with a hearty laugh. Hair pulling is good, biting is fine.
Free?
Well.
Free! Blade, help me out here.
At least we found Maria's favorite wrestling move is the go behind.
Well.
Maybe she likes it in the behind.
Her parents.
Yes, Robert, that was the joke. Thank you.
I am speechless.
You're as bad as
we're here.
Turner.
Roscoe Phil is a fountain of information, just to let you know.
What the hell? I'm single guys, dancing three from Greece, family is titternatural, loves freckles, yes, we know them. Or at least I do. Don't want a mirror-ish. Money.
For anybody who's in EWT, I wonder if the person who made all those jokes, the poop humor, was Gary Constantine. Just a thought. Anyways.
But why be in EWT when you could be in KPW, RC?
Precisely, when you could be in the single greatest EFED out there, KPWWrestling.com. KPWWrestling.proboard61.com. Come in today. Our off-season, we're currently going under off-season, April the 2nd, very first press conference for our new season. Come in, join up. You'll have a great-ass time.
Hmm.
I love
no,
plugging
shit. No, I'm already dedicated with mine.
I'll give you
I'm in EW. I'm in the Extreme WrestleCraft Federation. I'm a title holder there.
My character... Mine is currently out of the Online Onslaught Wrestling Federation and supposedly working for WWE and saving people from John Cena for 3 more months.
Okay.
Who's that?
Let's move swiftly. Yes. Angles. Going on, however, to the rest of the issue, we have a...
Oh, you're actually reading the articles now.
Oh, no, I'm going into the Miss April. She's Bavarian, loves Oktoberfest, and has amazing 37E natural breasts.
What's her cup size?
37E, natural, mind you.
37?
Yes, in a row. Oh, come on! Go watch Clerks. I demand it.
I'm gonna have to find this sound effect now. Give me a second while I turn my sounds back on. Please can just continue with your prattle while I go look this up.
So just really interrupt us when she finds it.
Let's finish up, shall we? There's some other stuff we need to talk about, including...
Kim Jong-il likes Hennessy Cognac. it says it right there. He spent $600 on a bottle one time. Devil May Cry 4 got 3.5 bunnies.
Out of 5.
While for some odd reason, FIFA Street 3 got 3. Since when did we try to make soccer thug?
That game's so fun.
Soccer?
Yeah. I played it once against my brother, and I beat him, and I haven't played it since.
It's because you're Canadian. You don't know any better.
It was my first game, and I didn't even know we had the game, and then he's like, come play. And I'm like, okay, and I picked up the controller, and I beat him, and I'm like, yeah, I won't be playing that again anytime soon. And I haven't. I'll hold that
okay, I have found the sound effect I was looking for.
And what is the sound effect?
Okay, I'm going to have to turn this up, and hopefully... it will come through. turn all this up. Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
If you can't hear this, I apologize.
Oh, three of it. The hell was that?
Somebody getting hit alongside the head with a guitar.
CM Devong?
Actually, though, the original swinger of guitars, El Cabong.
Ooh, three Brazilian flight attendants.
All right, that's enough of Playboy. Put the Playboy away, D2, and put your pants back on.
D2, put the magazine down.
You assume that I
and
know.
Put your hands out where everybody can see them after you wipe them off.
You know, I have to give D2 some credit because he did go out and buy the magazine instead of looking at the pictures online for free.
Yes,
I did.
That's true. Yeah. They did. They came out a couple of days early.
I forced myself not to go look at them online so I could wait until I got the magazine so I could prove Trista wrong that freckle wasn't airbrushed.
I even sent him the link and he's like, "I'm not doing it." And I'm like, "Okay, so." I'll give him some props for not cheating and looking at them a week before. Like, I did.
Okay, but in all honesty, the bet's a split and nobody wins any money.
Thank you.
I'll take $5 Canadian.
I'm not giving you anything, so you can shut the hell up about it.
Oh, well, then fine.
No,
D2.
Trista.
Yes?
$5 Canadian is not like, what, $5 US?
Exactly, so you can just bring the booze on Sunday.
On Sunday?
Yes,
I guess.
Sunday.
May or may not be sober when this happens on Sunday. Sunday's pretty much my drinking day, so.
Well, Sunday's going
to
be
a she loves to drink her shirt off.
No.
Let me explain about shirt off. I'll let Trista explain about shirt off.
Well, in Canada, because we're pretty awesome here, the legal drinking age is 19 and not 21.
Right.
Thank you.
You have
and
my attention.
For my birthday, since my one friend already turned 19 in February, my birthday's in May, she bought me a bottle of Smirnoff because I love vodka. But instead of having it as Smirnoff, she put pictures of John Cena, Batista, Edge, and I think it's just the three of them. But she put pictures of them all over and took off the Smirnoff label and replaced it with shirt off because they all had their shirt off on it. So. It was a pretty awesome gift, and it actually lasted me, like, more than a year to drink, so that's...
I'd like to see a picture of this bottle. That's cool.
Oh, I have pictures. I have pictures of it. I'll email them to you one night. Probably, like, tomorrow I'll do it.
You need to repost those on the WrestleCrap forums.
You're going to be sober tomorrow.
Well, I might be. I'm supposed to be going out drinking tomorrow night, too.
I got Malibu rum up in the cupboard, and plus I got a bottle of wine that's been in my fridge for, like, 2 months. I need to drink that. Screw saving it for a special occasion. I'll just drink it.
I, however, do not drink.
I'm quite the alcoholic, so, yeah.
Butters. All right,
this summer I'm planning a trip to Canada to visit Trista.
Yay! Once we both get money and jobs, I can afford it.
Hey, I have money and a job.
So do I.
Nobody wants to offer to take D2 up to Canada. No.
I have money and a job, and anybody can have my job.
I'll take it. I'm in so much debt right now, I'll take any job.
Well, I think it's really...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one thing that's great about Canada is they actually treat wrestling like... They don't treat it like a joke, which they definitely do here in the States. Like, when I YouTube pro wrestling shoot, I'm always able to watch... wrestlers on, like, the score and, like, on OTR and stuff. So it's always pretty cool to be able to watch. They don't actually treat wrestlers like they're complete morons, which is exactly what they do here in the States, and you saw that with the Benoit thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Like, the host that did Off the Record, Michael Landsberg, he had Ric Flair on it, and he basically told Flair he doesn't watch wrestling, but he respects them so much and that he treats them like they're... I'm going to say hockey players, because we treat hockey players, like, really
well. Yeah, you guys worship hockey players.
Yeah.
but,
yeah, like, Michael Landsberg's a great host for that show, and he treats everyone with such an amount of respect.
One poop joke, and I'm throwing stuff.
Hello, caller.
Hello, how are we doing?
We're doing all right. Who is this?
This is referee Sean Matthews calling in.
Ah, I know this man.
I do, too.
I heard talking about alcohol and someone taking Nikki Haven's job, so I was compelled to call in.
What? I'm not letting you know I've been spending the last week doing job. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Now, if anybody was doing the job, that was me at LuchaCorp and IPW last weekend. Let's clear that up real quick.
Oh, okay. But it was Opie that Osiris and Big Jed threw around.
True. Well, but then Tarek got me, and then Dave got me, and yeah. So.
This is the most abused ref in the tri-state area, ladies and gentlemen. Shane Matthews. Woohoo! Sean Matthews. I'm sorry.
Hi, Sean.
You trying to pull a gumbo on me or something? Good evening, everybody. How we doing?
we're doing just fine. You're far cry from that poop idiot.
I like Opie. I made a poopy in my pants, wrestled around in it, rolled around, and it was sexual.
All
right, you forced my hand. I am putting that clip on YouTube.
I'm not going to say anything
because
I do know people that actually talk like that, and actually at Ego Pro Wrestling in Cincinnati, we actually have a redneck character, so I will stay away from any refrain from any comments in regards to rednecks or redneck characters. So
yeah, we used to have the same thing in IPW up near Midwest Indy.
Uh-huh.
And it was horrible because the core fan base would just be hillbilly redneck, and then there'd be us that know what's going on. And this guy was the most over character that there was, and he just sucked, absolutely sucked.
Are you talking about IPW out of Indianapolis?
Yeah.
I work for them now.
Really?
Yeah. I've been there since November of last year.
Is Kincaid still in charge of it?
I don't think so. Mike Williams does the booking right now for IPW.
And by the way, when you said the redneck character sucks, in order to humor Trista, I bet he doesn't suck more than Art Cannon.
So the redneck character, for the redneck character, are you referring to Hillbilly Jed? Is that who we're referring to with the redneck character?
No, it wasn't that one. It was a while back. It was a couple years.
Okay.
Can't remember what his name was, but I mean, I used to do some refereeing for IPW when Kincaid was still there, and he just stiffed the shit out of us on pay so many times.
Yeah, I know it's gotten better. Let's put it this way: I get paid when I go up there. So
let me put it like this: his checks super bald more than Paul's.
Really?
Okay, now I'm saying something because I won't deny it.
Well, let's put this way. There are no checks for this one, although I have heard of a promotion starting this year actually writing checks to their talent. It's Hybrid Wrestling out of Fremont, Ohio. For those of you who don't know me, I am the referee for Ring of Honor's Irish Airborne. So I do a lot of work with – I travel with them essentially, and they went to Hybrid – about 3 weeks ago, actually, I ended up having to not go to that booking, but they are actually writing checks now because apparently they're making so much money that they're actually having to go legal beagle for tax purposes.
Nice.
So I was kind of shocked. No, but IPW right now is booked by Mike Williams. Mike Williams and another guy owns it. The other part owner's only been there for about 2 or 3 months, but loves the work that I do. So, no, they draw really decently, actually. Nikki, for you, actually, I've got to get you a copy of it. You need to pick up a copy of it through IPW, the December DVD.
The one you attended?
Yeah, with the cage match. I actually got my hands on it this past week, and I actually sat down and watched it. So you're on it, so I thought I'd mention that. But they draw about $250, $300 a month right now. The summer they'll draw more.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the Midwest forums, for anybody who knows, but the Midwest Independent forums, actually the fans on the Midwest Independent forums have voted IPW the best indie fed in Indiana.
Wow, that's a really big turnaround.
Yeah, they've done really well the past about 3 years. So they bring in, the thing is, they bring in quality talent. Hold on, let me get my DVDs real quick. I got the last 4 months. I picked up the last 4 months while I was up there this past week. Let me turn on my own here. We'll see.
You want to start reffing again? They might need one because Matthews over here is one of maybe two that they're still working with.
Three, actually. Well, three, and then I hate to say this, but I guess I'll go ahead and say this. I essentially, they bumped someone else out to book me. So, not to put myself over or anything, but that's it. That's a shoot comment, ladies and gentlemen. So that is the truth.
Worst thing when you need them, and that's a shoot.
And that is a shoot. In the past few months, people that have come through the doors, let's see here, John Moxley from Cincinnati. Let's see, Quackenbush was in January. The Airborne are mainstays, except, well, one of them will be there. Dave Chris is having another knee surgery in about 2 weeks. We had Shikara, Vin Gerard, Joey Owens, Scotty Vortex, and that's Sound Dragon from CZW. Drake Younger's the champion of the promotion right now. So the Dragons are regulars. And then just a lot of regional talent, and they're starting to bring in some people from Pennsylvania. There's a guy named Shima Zion who's done some work over in Japan, who made his debut last month. So they're very successful, and they unlike other promotions in Indiana, I won't mention names just for the sake of not getting heat on it. That actually IPW doesn't go out and have to get either, you know, WWE talent that are allowed to work or TNA talent or anything like that. They draw shows on, you know, on good indie talent. So it's, you know, it was voted best for a reason. So, but yeah, so that's IPW. So yeah, they're actually good. They first Saturday of every month. So quick plug, if I can, with permission, throw in a plug for IPW.
Oh,
please.
Hold on. Judges?
Why not?
Go for it.
www.insanityprowrestling.com. The next show will be Saturday, April the 5th, 2008, at the Salvation Army Community Center on East Shelby Street in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. Bell time at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. $10 to get in the door, $5 for children. And I think that's about it for that.
And you can count me in for being there, that's for damn sure.
Well,
if you're gonna be there, I'll try to work my way out.
Yeah, definitely. And then I will. If you guys come out, you know, I won't be real hard to miss the show, obviously. So, find me. Come up. Definitely make it a point to come up and find me at intermission or something while I'm roaming around. So, you know, shake some hands and things of that nature when you guys come on down. So, actually, if someone wants to shoot me an email, if you guys want to get me your information, I will see what I can do about maybe trying to get you some comps. To the show.
Super.
So let me know. Okay.
All right.
Info, comps, blah blah blah.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes, no problem. So you guys were talking about Maria. Were you guys changing topics? Or sorry, I didn't want to take away from the talk. I was going to try to actually put some input into the show, not stray away. My apologies.
I was forced to put the Playboy down.
I've got to go get it. I have yet to, and actually, you know what? I will say it. I have not seen it online either yet. I forgot to re-up my subscription, so I
have to go
do that.
Three
I'm going to go out and buy it.
Stores to get it.
You really?
Because the first two I went to, one had last month's up and hadn't gotten the new copy yet. The other one didn't even carry it anymore.
There's a Borders like 10 minutes from my apartment that'll have it. I can guarantee it, because that's where I got Ashley's copy last year. Or no, not Ashley's copy. It was Candace's copy 2 years ago.
That's where I went first, was Borders.
The tranny copy, ladies and gentlemen, for those who go to WrestlePrep.com.
Someone I
not a
lot
tranny. Anyway. Although she does look like she has herpes.
She does?
Those piercings.
Are the piercings out?
Mm-hmm.
Take them
piercings
out from the
shoot? No, with the piercings in, it looks like she has herpes. Not Maria, though. There's no
at least she doesn't look like she has the HIV or anything.
She has AIDS.
Is this Sunday. Hello, everybody. It's JB, Jeremy Barrett.
Sorry, I'm just setting up for for what we're doing next.
Yes, you are setting up for another plug.
What's the next segment, may I ask? TNA, Destination X on Sunday?
It's time for predictions.
Ah, yes.
All right.
And if you don't mind, Robert, before we get into predictions, I have a plug here to make. Along with
you. Oh, yes, yes, that
beautiful
plug.
Beautiful
cover. Ladies and gentlemen, I turn it over to D2.
Ladies and gentlemen, starting this Sunday, for those of you listening to this show that love this show, love the musical showcase that we do, this Sunday, yours truly, along with my two beautiful co-hosts, Trista Timpson and Agador Spartacus, we are starting up our very own show, a pay-per-view pre-show, blogtalkradio.com/DTA radio. Everything pre-show in terms of whatever the show may be that night, TNA, WWE, what have you, 6 o'clock p.m. will be the start time, 1 hour show, free to call in once I get more information for you, of course, blogtalkradio.com/DTA radio.
And we have another caller.
We have another caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
My name is John Morrison, and I like to squeeze things. this is Lenny.
There's no squeeze.
Called in to do predictions. We don't have loofahs. I can't do a John Morrison, but I tried. Yeah, I'm just got back from the bar, and I wanted to call, and I turn in, and I hear Jeremy Borash's voice. I hear predictions, so I thought this would be a good time for me to call in. So go ahead.
What's your name again, sir?
Lenny.
Lenny! Oh, Lenny!
My real name is Vanilla Ice, but Lenny is my stage name.
Ice is back. Okay. Now, DJ, Trista, Nikki, D2, Sean, Lenny, are all of you ready?
Yes.
Let's do this.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. We'll start off with a tag team match. Kaz and Eric Young versus Black Rain and Rollick.
What is that turtle back for me? I'm hoping Adam Sessler can get the win on this one. Because, I mean, sure, Sessler may be afraid of monsters and everything, and I'm making references that nobody gets. But him and Kaz, they seem to have a pretty good chemistry going in this whole I'm afraid of monsters thing. So, me personally, I'm going with them on this.
Trista.
Go ahead,
take
Trista.
That, Nikki. I'm following TNA, so I'll just say the team that looks good, and I'll go with Kaz and Eric Young, because I kind of have a huge crush on Kaz. So.
Who doesn't have a huge crush on Kaz? Nikki?
You got a point.
I don't. However, I am picking Kaz and EY because I want to see EY's monster. I want to see what he's going to turn into.
Wow.
Win this match. There is an inner monster. I got to see this.
I'm sorry.
We reword that differently.
You reword that for my sake. Please.
Who knows? We might all get swerved and the inner monster might be Scott D'Amore. DJ.
You cannot deny the awesomeness that is Showtime Eric Young, so I'll go with EY and Kaz.
Shane. For Sean.
I'm going to be the first one of the group. I'm actually going to take Black Rain and Rollick.
Killer spell backwards.
Yes, killer spell backwards. based on the fact that, you know, they're trying to push the gimmick with Eric Young being scared, I honestly see them trying to extend this maybe going into Slammiversary time. I don't see the end of this coming anytime soon. So having said that, since as a TNA person, we're going to see a longer feud. I'm going to take Black Rain and Rollick. I see it going down is a two-on-one on Kaz at the end. Eric runs out probably about three-quarters of the match.
Lenny.
Well, I'm going to go with the stats on this one. This match has three jobbers and a guy who was just in a World Heavyweight title match about a month ago. So I'm going to go with Kaz and whoever Kaz's partner was again. I can't even remember. I haven't forgotten that. Kaz was getting pushed a little bit ago.
Yeah. Oh, emphasis on was. I'm going to go with... Actually, I'm going to agree with Sean and say Black Rain and Rock. This will probably lead up to a lockdown match, a House of Fun match.
Clockwork Orange, baby.
Didn't get in that house since Raven.
Clockwork Orange, House of Fun match. Raven versus Sandman. That was awesome.
Oh my God.
I remember that. God, that was a long time ago.
All right. Number one contenders, three-way dance, Rock and Raven Faction, LAX versus the Guns. Trista.
I think it's obvious. I'm going to go with my boys. My Guns.
We'll have a story about the Guns after the predictions. D2.
You see, that's the one that's been really tough for me personally, because, I mean, Rock and Rave Infection, they're not going to do anything. The problem with you here is LAX, they should get pushed up on that top spot, but ever since they added Big Boobs McGee to them, they haven't done anything. Ever since we got Big Booby Vampire with them, all she does is swivel her hips and they lose. So obviously, I got to go with the Guns.
Nikki.
I'm unfortunately not, I want to root for the Guns. I really do. But I think your backstory that you spoke of earlier is going to come up in that I don't think the Guns are going to win this one. Unfortunately, I can't tell if they're actually interested in pushing the Rock and Rave Infection or if they might actually want to start doing stuff with LAX. So flipping a coin and knowing Vince Russo's involved, I'm going to go with LAX.
DJ.
I was originally going to pick the Murder City Machine Guns, but apparently I picked up on the same thing that you and Nikki have also picked up on. Apparently there's some major heat there, and so I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if it's the Rock and Rave Infection, because I think that Lance Hoyt actually got a clean pin on somebody, and I don't know who it was last week, but it was definitely some team that I didn't think that they would beat. So I don't know what they're going to do with them, but I'm going to go with the Rock and Rave Infection.
Sean.
This is tough. I'm not going to lie. You got LAX, who, in my opinion, they've not necessarily fallen off the cart, but ever since Conan left and Conan's all heat deal with management, LAX has just fallen to the wayside, unfortunately. There's very two talented individuals. I'm going to go with the Guns, and the reason why I'm saying this is the Guns have been in line for a major push. They did a huge solid for TNA and did the MTV Made thing, which airs tomorrow, I'll be on it. And because of that and that alone, I see the Guns going over because they're at a point right now where the Guns are going to look favorable in other markets and their contract's coming up. So no disrespect meant to LAX, but the Guns, I think, are going to be the next push, and LAX will be right behind them.
And Lenny.
I'm going to go with Machine Guns because everybody from Michigan is genetically superior to people not in Michigan. Just ask Scott Steiner. He went to a highly educated university.
Have you been drinking the Michigan Invasion's Kool-Aid?
Yeah. Actually, Michigan sucks, but I'm going to pick them because they're the ones getting pushed right now. I hate them.
I'm going with LAX. You got Salinas. You got Homicide. We haven't seen a cop killer in a few months, so I think we'll get one at the pay-per-view. So, on that alone, I say LAX. Now we get to the Fish Market Street Fight.
God, I missed Dirt one.
Dirt Boy
week.
And Curry
what?
Man versus Team 3D. Now, stipulation states that if Team 3D can't make weight, they're gone from TNA for good. Which means they're going to make weight, and we're going to have this match.
Whoa.
So, who's going to win the match? We'll go with, Lenny.
Well, I actually, did they just announce that this week? I missed TNA this week, but if the stipulation is that 3D has gone from TNA, obviously they're not going to leave TNA, so obviously, you know, I'm predicting 3D is going to win, but I totally would want Curryman and Turk Boy to win. Just because they're, like, all spicy and stuff, and 3D is just fast.
Sean.
Obviously 3D is going to make weight. I think at this juncture, let's be honest, 3D's gone over every time they've made weight. So, you know, throwing around Big Red Snappers and Trouts and everything like that on Sunday, I'm picking Curryman and Sharkboy. Those gimmicks are too over to job four times in a row to 3D.
DJ.
I actually hope the ring collapses and I don't have to see this match.
Okay, that works for me.
But I'll take Team 3D.
All right, Nikki.
Actually, I would laugh even harder if Team 3D didn't make weight and then Hebner just couldn't stop them and we have the match anyway. Much as I would like to root for Team 3D in this instance, I've got to go with Curryman and Stone Cold Sharkboy. They are insanely over, and they are so much fun to watch.
D-Dose.
The thing with it is, I mean, I was watching it earlier, and I'm not sure what they made as the official announcement for the stipulation, but the way I heard Stone Cold Shark Boy say it is that if Big Boy 3Ds... Oh, come on. I can't get any interactivity here.
What?
Suck.
What?
If Team 3D can't make weight, or if they lose, they're out of TNA. That's the way I heard it. I don't know how it's announced, but that's how I heard it. So, obviously, with that, I mean, it's freaking Team 3D. They're not going to try and throw them anywhere else. I want Sharkboy and Curry Man to win because of the simple fact that I taught Sharkboy ring psychology one night, but that's another story. But Team 3D is probably going to take it.
Right. And Trista.
Yeah, this match is so fucking ridiculous. I don't even want to pick someone. Like, I haven't, honest to God, I haven't watched TNA in the longest time. I, like, turn it on. I'm like, hey, Alex Shelley. And then, like, I watch his match, and then I turn it off.
That
so
could
I'm
be a problem this Sunday.
For the record, according to TNA.com, if Team 30 cannot make weight for the bout, they will be fired from TNA Wrestling. TNA Management Director Jim Cornette has decreed that Team 30 will not be fired if they lose the bout, only if they cannot make weight.
Boo.
Okay, then, yeah, Curry Man and Shark Boy got a really good shot.
Yeah,
yeah,
Curry Man and Shark Boy then.
I'm going with Curry Man and Shark Boy, I guess. I don't even know who they are.
Shark Boy is Stone Cold Shark Boy. Don't know who's under the mask. And Curry Man is Christopher Daniels' biggest rival. Therefore, I go
New
with
Japan.
Shark
New
Boy.
Japan
and Shark Boy and Chris. I mean Curry Man.
Don't give it away.
That's all I covered my ass on that one. Women's title match: Kong Kim ODB. Now this one is in one word or less. Trista.
Two of the contenders?
More than one word, you lose.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear. I heard Kong
right.
ODB.
Saying one word, who will win the title match? You have Kong, Gail Kim, or ODB?
Kong.
DJ. D2, excuse me.
Boobs.
Huh?
Boobs.
Where's an emotion? You lose.
That doesn't tear it down.
Repeat your answer, D2.
Boobs.
ODB.
That doesn't narrow it down. I'm sorry. Oh. It'll
be the ODB.
Oh, okay. Kong.
DJ.
Kong.
Sean.
Oh.
DB.
Right.
That makes sense.
Lenny.
Gail.
Kong. Strap match! Yay!
Strap match? What?
Strap
you about
match.
You hear about the prostitute that was into bondage? She was strapped for cash.
Oh, God.
Ah!
A joke.
Boo that man!
Playboy.
Boo that man.
My
Kofi Grinder joke sound funny.
And what was said earlier about Hoyt getting a...
That's
a comment was made earlier about Hoyt getting a win recently. I just went through the past 5 weeks of Impact because yay DVR and fast forwarding. He hasn't had a single victory yet.
There's no way they're going over.
Right. Booker T versus Robert Roode. Stand by your man strap match. Let's start with Lenny.
Wait, who is it? It's Robert Roode against who?
Booker T.
And what's the stipulation, stand by your man? Is it a mixed tag match or something?
If Booker wins, Peyton Banks gets 10 lashes by Tracy Brooks. If Robert Roode wins, it's reversed.
This is a tough one because, I mean, you would think Booker would win to get his revenge, but Robert Roode feuds tend to go on for ages, so I'm actually going to guess Robert Roode on this one.
With absolutely no point to them.
John?
I'm sorry, I'm reading the steps here real quick. I'm kind of phasing out. My apologies. I agree. The Robert Roode feuds just tend to run long, and they get very, very winding. I think they're really going to settle it in the cage in Boston next month. So I'm going to go ahead and take Robert Roode on this one as well.
DJ?
I see actually a returning Charmel costing Booker the match, having then Tracy getting the lashes, and then setting up some kind of a love triangle between Booker T, Charmel, and Tracy Brooks. So Robert
Russo Ryan. Thinking. Love it.
Russo writing, yes.
Yeah.
Russo writing.
Russo
that makes sense in a Russo logic.
Yes, it does.
Because it makes no sense.
Right. Nikki.
I don't think that if Booker wins this match, it really would signal the end of the feud. I think, you know, we go ahead and get his revenge, and we schmoz everything at the end with the lashings. I think Booker can pull this off. And Robert Roode, and then Roode can come up with some crazy stuff to go with the cage.
Mm-hmm. And D2?
Since we're talking about my brilliant father and his brilliant logic, I see the dog-faced gremlin coming back and she possibly costing Book of the match because somehow she gets involved with Banks. They go at it outside. Booker gets distracted. Some type of screw job finish. Robert Roode gets the match.
Rick
Krista.
Steiner?
Anyone but Robert Roode.
Atta girl.
David Arquette.
And with that logic, I'm going with Robert Roode. X Division title match, the Machismo versus the Muscle, Petey Williams. First time Petey Williams had a pay-per-view title match in God knows how long.
When was the company first started?
2002.
2002, then.
Okay. Lenny.
Hold
on. Another stipulation on this.
Oh, of course.
More stipulations.
One word.
Free. Is there something on a pole?
No.
So Val. Oh wait.
Val on a pole.
Alright, one word decision. Who wins? Black Machismo or Maple Leaf Muscle Petey Williams? Lenny.
Maple.
That was your one word. Sean.
Machismo.
DJ.
Petey, as long as there's no Steiner.
That was more than one word. Nikki.
Petey.
D2.
Steiner.
See that?
There's reasoning behind it, but I only get one word.
One word.
That's right, he does have that briefcase. He can cash it in. Trista.
Canada.
The entire country of
Canada. Elevation X match. The War Machine Rhino versus the guy with the best team in TNA today, Cowboy James Storm.
Amen.
Lenny.
I'll go with Rhino, just because if he doesn't win, his comeback would be pointless. But
when
then again,
hasn't his comeback
on
been
that,
pointless?
Probably James Storm. So never mind.
This match makes me extremely nervous, and Nikki, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
Wow. Let's put this way. I won't be safe until I see people walking up the ramp at the end of this match. I agree with the storyline. It's pointless if Rhino loses, but I don't see a 320-pound guy taking a plunge off of the scaffold against a 240-pound guy. Simple physics. Rhino over.
DJ.
Rhino.
Nikki.
Definitely Rhino. If you saw the look on his face after the first one, he doesn't even want to be up there, much less take the plunge. So he's going to do everything he can to make sure Storm does.
All right. And
I had something.
To hell with physics. Nikki, you brought it up right there. What's the point of having an Elevation X match where both guys are afraid of heights? You know who wins in this? Nobody wins in this, because it's going to be a piss-poor excuse of a match.
Okay, by that, Trista?
I'll go the person closest to the Canadian border, so I'm going with Rhino.
Yeah, but he's not an alcoholic. Well, he was an alcoholic, never mind.
I'm going with D2's answer. Nobody wins. Main event match. Go, Cage.
Sean has something to say.
First and foremost, that is a work.
Yeah, I know.
It was not an alcoholic. Sorry, I've gotten a lot of flack for that. And two, you can't understand Elevation X or the height of what it is, you know, saying it's going to be a piss-poor excuse of the match until you're actually down there looking at the scaffolding they use. I'm going to break kayfabe here for a minute or so. I was down in Orlando in July. with a couple of people, and I was a guest of TNA, and I was actually looking at it was when they did the Ultimate X match, and they used the same scaffolding that they used for Elevation X, and
uh-huh.
it's at the same height, and looking at the height of that, I mean, it looks small. TV does it no justice, let's put it that way. That match, you know, both of those guys have a legitimate right to be scared. I mean, if you go back and watch the scaffold matches of the 80s, I mean, you see the look on, like, the Road Warrior's face and on Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express's face. Those matches are no fun any way you look at it. And this is a shoot comment. If they had a better storyline to put Rhino in, he would never have been in this match in first place. But he's getting dicked over politically. So I'll stop there.
And we will get to the main event match, Joe Cage Nash versus Lions, right after this word.
Hi, my name's Frost. You might not know me or my friends just yet, but trust me, you will get to know us, you will love us, you will want to have our children. We're bringing a new breed of internet radio station to you called The Crematory. We specialize in a variety of hard, dark, and driving music. We play metal. Industrial. Gothic. Techno trance, and more. Don't miss out. Look out for The Crematory on crematory-radio.listen2myradio.com. The Crematory. We launch March 27th, 2008. crematory-radio.listen2myradio.com. We thrash and we burn.
They burn indeed.
I like fire.
Fire. Okay, main event time. Joe Cage Nash versus the Ingo Alliance. Joe Cage Nash have a 3-on-2 advantage for the first 5 minutes.
Did they make that official now?
It's official.
Okay, because last I heard with that TNA Today, they're like, oh, hey, vote on our website who really won the match. Just stupid.
Oh. Stupid, indeed. Lenny.
I'm going to go with the Angle Alliance.
Sean.
I'm going to go with the Angle Alliance because Joe's picking up the strap at Lockdown in Boston.
Yeah, Ring of Honor stomping grounds. DJ.
I'm going to go with Mr. Karen Angle, Mr. Karen Styles, and Tomko.
Nice one. Nikki.
I'm going to stick with the Angle Alliance since they're the ones that are down. As always, any handicap match, you go to the guy who's handicapped.
So that was, gallon,
which is why my friend Steven lost a bundle on Eugene matches. Thank you. D2.
Now that reminds me, actually, I have a funny Zach Gowan story, but I'll tell that later. Honestly, to me, it's a main event in TNA where the world title nor the tag titles are on the line. Either way, it doesn't really matter to me. I'll just say Angle Alliance because it has AJ in it, and he's one of the best storylines they've got right now.
Trista.
Angle Alliance.
It's a sweep. Angle Alliance is going to win this one, but Joe gets the belt at Lockdown. For which, me and Nikki...
Yes.
If you're up for this, this is just speculation for right now.
All right.
Live commentary over Lockdown.
I might be talked into that.
Hey, guys. I'm going to head out now because I'm getting this huge fucking migraine and I can't even see anything right now, so I'm going to sign off and tell everyone to have a good night.
Oh, come on. We only got 10 minutes left in the show.
Have you ever had a migraine before?
Yes.
Yes, but it didn't prevent me from hearing a really funny Zach Gowan story.
Think of Tyler Black. Think of me standing next to Tyler Black. Oops.
I'm fine.
Don't even start on Tyler Black. One of the most disrespectful people I've ever met.
Have a good night.
Night, Trista.
Thanks, Sean. You just chased away somebody who is actually a fan of his, regardless of how he acts.
He's a good wrestler. I'll give him that much.
Yes. Now we're going to talk about the gun story that we had.
Yes.
As is most evidence, the M in MTV does no longer stand for music. It stands for Motor City Machine Guns.
There you go.
Or, in this case, MAID. Because on the season finale of MAID, their eighth season, believe it or not.
How? I wouldn't know. I don't think I even get that channel anymore.
MTV?
There's no music video, so that channel no longer exists.
Okay, that works. As it turns out, the guns will be on MAID to help. Hold on, let me get the full story up. Oh, here we go.
Destination X is this Sunday. Hello.
Shut up, Borash. Nobody wants to hear you.
Well, pulling that up, I actually have a story about this.
I'll read the story first, then we'll get to your story, Sean.
Awesome.
Saban and Charlie the Guns team up with MTV to get a high school student MAID. Three new episodes premiering this Saturday, March 8th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Pacific, and TNA's own Motor City Machine Guns helped to make a professional wrestler.
Out of clay and twigs.
Oh, that was Celebrity Deathmatch.
It still has a better work rate than Batista.
Oi!
In a release by MTV, the Pro Wrestler episode of MAID, airing at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern Time, will feature high school student Chris Hendricks, a self-described choir queer. His words, not mine.
Wow.
Who's sick of being stereotyped as weak just because he's gay. He wants to be made into a larger-than-life pro wrestler so he can prove to everybody that he's tough enough to take a punch. Okay. Offers coaches, Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, or two of the hunkiest coaches known to man.
Wow.
Chris will bulk up and learn how to throw a punch and take a fall. But with only 6 weeks of training before his first professional match, it's anybody's guess whether or not he'll be ready to rumble. Oh, God. Several TNA superstars will appear on the episode as Chris gets a crash course on becoming a professional wrestler from the most talented roster of superstars in the world today. Oh, come on now. That's just tooting your own horn. Ring of Honor. Come on.
He's wrestling against Chikara?
I wish.
We eat him alive.
Especially, who knows? He might be attracted to Mark de Los Ice Creams, or Los Ice Creams, and he might eat the ice cream. Which leads me to a funny story off of then. I'll be quick. Glacier was in the Trios tournament this year, and what did he use as a weapon?
Bastard had sprinkles.
Sprinkles!
That's just dirty. I'm not even that mean.
And guess what? I think he won the match.
Wow.
Glacier got over as a heel, something he couldn't do in WCW.
I blame Russo.
Period.
No. This was before Russo.
Why was he there? Leave my father out of this.
Yeah, but when you're working Mortis and Wrath for 4 months, that really, you can't really be established as a heel. They never give him the upper row opportunity to be established as a heel.
Hey, who better than Mortis?
Me?
Everybody!
Yeah. Okay.
It's so funny seeing Mortis when he talked with that mask and he had a Jersey accent. I'm like, yeah, this is a cool monster right here.
Vince, over.
Seriously,
you should have just named him the Jersey
voice.
Devil.
Yo, Glacier! You know, it was just like, whatever.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat! Anyway.
That's the Mortal Kombat hustle, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Oh! Yay.
Okay, so...
Sean, your story.
Well, first and foremost, I most likely, I can't guarantee it, I will be on that episode of Made tomorrow.
Yay!
Yay! Yes.
Yay!
Watching TV.
Hey, that's good for me. Well, good for me at least. The kid did his match at Primetime Wrestling in Belleville, Michigan, and I am one of the two referees that work for Primetime. So I didn't even know what was going on until I actually got to the building that afternoon. But so yes, cross your fingers. It's actually 3 p.m. Eastern. They changed the time on it yesterday. 3 p.m. Eastern on MTV.
3 p.m. Eastern. That means 12 noon Pacific if we have the East Coast feed.
Exactly. The story is this. I was sitting in the locker room at the Diamondback Saloon in Belleville at PTW with Tyson Deuce's girlfriend. So we're all sitting down. I was done for the night. I was getting out of my gear. And it was right after we got to see Saban and Shelley. I don't know if you know if you can even call it pulling a rib on the kid. They wanted to do something. They wanted to do something else, and they couldn't. What they were attempting to do was take a padlock and padlock the kid's bag shut. The padlock was too big. So I'm sitting down there with Tyson's girlfriend. Tyson's up there. So we're all sitting there, me and Gutter Hollister. We're all sitting around there. We're laughing. They decide to go into the kid's bag and pull out his entire brand-new roll of black athletic tape and take the entire tape on that lock in, like, six different directions.
Nice.
That's a slap on the wrist, Rib. And I even said that to the MTV people, like, while they were shooting. I'm like, that's a slap on the wrist, Rib. I've gotten worse. But they were sitting down. I was talking to Tyson's girlfriend, and they said, "Oh, this kid's been training for 2 or 3 months up at Border City Can-Am. It's Scott DeMore School up in Windsor. And apparently he had been training there, and he went to TNA. He went down to Orlando for a weekend for a TV taping with Chris and Alex. And apparently he worked with, like, Joe and Senshi, I think. And Senshi taught him a new kind of squat for warm-ups. Well, he
didn't do squats.
Yes, they took it back to Border City, and they're all doing it there. He's in group with the rest of everyone who's training there, who's actually paying to train, and they went and did that kind of squat. The kid has the balls to go to Scott DeMore and say, and points to the girls like, "I don't think they're doing that right."
No, you don't do that to Scott DeMore. You get a hockey stick upside your head.
No, I didn't do anything. The girl, I forget her name off the top of my head, but Tyson's girlfriend just looked at me and just gave me this dirtiest look ever. And then, like, she wanted to literally walk up and slap the you-know-what out of this kid. Because the kid has no respect for the business, but you can't be taught respect in the business. You can't be taught how to work on three or four months training. But, yeah, so, I mean, we got a lot of, a lot of laughs. So, for those of you who are not going to watch, he didn't really do a whole lot. But obviously MTV will do use their magical editing powers to put the kid over more so than he could ever get in front of a crowd.
Which means you can expect him in WWE in about 6 months.
That's allowed.
If that happens, they need to give me a contract. That's crap.
I could use one myself. I was on TV tonight more than Kevin Thorne has been in the last 6 months.
That's very true.
Point.
Yes, I found it
works for them.
I found it kind of amusing. Let's put it this way: I'm going to refer to him as the kid because it's what he is. He's a kid. 14.
Chris? No, he says 18. Chris Hendricks?
No, he's definitely 14.
Oh, right about his age.
His parents were there at the show, and I heard he was. That he's definitely 14 because they shoot that to the high school demographic. So he had no respect from anybody there, nobody whatsoever. It's exactly what it is. It is a huge publicity ploy, for TNA to try to put TNA over a little bit more. I mean, we were sitting down in the locker room, there are basic rules when it comes to the business and respect, and the kid did not follow it. At any one of them. granted, I can almost say maybe he wasn't told, but I wasn't told what I had to do to respect everybody in the business. You just learned as you went, you know. I mean, I think the kid was on it for the joyride of being on MTV. So, and again, if you're 14 and you get to go on MTV, you probably belong for the joyride too. So.
And we end this live broadcast on a great story from referee Shawn Michaels. Thank you, Shawn Michaels.
Stop that. Now
I'll be on Raw this Monday night.
Now he's going to mark.
Damn. And on that note, good night, ladies and gentlemen. About 40 seconds left. So anyways, if you guys are willing to do your archive, we'll discuss that later on. So, Trista, good night. D2, DJ, Nikki, Sean, and Lenny, I thank all of you for being on the show tonight.
BlogTalkRadio.com/DTA Radio, Sunday night, 6 o'clock.
MySpace.com/TheTollManTollWrestlingRefere @gmail.com.
NikkiHaven.com.
I wish I had a website.com.
APWrestling.ProBoard61.com.
Night, everybody. See you next week.
In here.
Good night.
Good night. You've said it on live internet radio. It has to be made now.
That's true.
You can go to GoDaddy.com for $19.95 a year.
Oh, good Lord. More plugs than a Home Depot.
Hey, at least it's not a Jim Ross plugging. Fruity, delicious. Oh, my God, they're fruity Skittles.
Oh, my God.
They're fruity Skittles.
Aneurysm-inducing Skittles.
Yes, 33,000 calorie Skittles.
33,000 calorie Skittle sandwich? What?
Skittle ever.
Yes. Yes. Eating one Skittle would feel like you're eating an apple orange, eating a whole orange tree.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Or a strawberry field.
Forever.
Forever.
Fruity Skittles.
This man is a music major. I'm under the furniture.
Let's just be thankful that Jim Ross didn't reenact the Berries and Cream Skittles commercial.
No, if Waller ever gets his hands on doing the Skittles promo, he'll do it.
Yes! I want to see Jim Ross in an elf suit going, Betty's a cream, Betty's a cream, I like Betty's and cream.
My brain hurts.
I have something to say about that old commercial. Some kid did that at my school. I found a copy of the New York Times.
Oh, my God.
It had everything in there. New York Times. I said, please don't make me do this. They use a